to Shattering Myths. Today we're going to advance our fifth of six programs devoted entirely to presenting what God had to say about Pesach, Passover, so that you come to understand the nature of this gift that Yahweh is giving us, so that based upon your understanding of the benefits associated with Passover, that you accept God's invitation and meet with Him on this day and celebrate this day with Him as He intended. It is the doorway to His home. It represents the source of eternal life. Now, in our program yesterday, we were considering the specific instructions that Yahweh provided for us regarding the preparation of the lamb. He said, you should never consume it. You are never to eat any part of it raw without due consideration. In other words, take the time to focus on what the lamb represents. Take the time to benefit from everything this fire that that I've asked you to roast it on represents. The smoke rising up to heaven. The fire symbolizing the source of judgment and separation that you are being passed over as a result of this day. The light of that fire and the correlation between light and God's nature and our eternal nature when we become His children. So boil it, cooking it in water, but instead as a condition, roasting it above a fire. I want the head and legs attached. Why? Because the head and legs of the Passover lamb would be attached on the fulfillment of this day by Yahusha. And his inner parts close by. While the leg or shank of the lamb is edible, God isn't suggesting that we consume any part of the internal organs. The head, the heart, the legs are there to help us visualize the price our Savior paid on Golgotha's upright pole. Yahusha's sacrifice alone is sufficient to resolve the issues which rob us of our lives. There would be nothing left to do, and thus no sin remaining. Particularly when we observe this day in conjunction, as he said, always do this in conjunction with matzah. And you shall make certain that nothing remains. You should consistently assure that there is nothing left over. This is lo yakar in the Hifl stem, which tells us that we are responsible for creating this result, and that in the imperfect conjugation, it reveals the consistent, continual, and ongoing nature of this instruction. So we are to make certain that nothing remains of him prior to morning. So nothing remains of the lamb prior to morning. And so the remainder of the lamb prior to the approach of morning, you shall literally and consistently burn up in the fire. What God is telling us here is that I'm not interested in bodily resurrection. That is not what we're going to do in the fulfillment of Passover, matzah, and unleavened bread. That would be stupid. That would be counterproductive. You don't go from a failing, deteriorating, limited, mortal body to go through all of this process to end up at the end with the same mortal body. That would be dumb. The whole purpose of this is to make you immortal. You can't be immortal and physical. To be immortal, you have to be spiritual energy. So what do I want? I want that which was mortal, which was physical, consumed in the fire, which is the representation of spiritual energy, of God's light, transforming that which was physical into energy, into radiant energy. That's what I want you to understand here. And I want you to understand that when this is fulfilled, and I make this connection between the source of life, the doorway to my home, which is Passover, and matzah, which is the means to perfect you and to remove corruption from you, represented by the fungus that is yeast, I want you to know that on the third day, on Bukurim, which means firstborn child, when you are born anew into my family, adopted into my family, you're going to be a new creation. You're not going to go back to what you were. That would be stupid. That would be counterproductive. And so Christians get this so messed up when they think that his former body that was beaten to a pulp all of a sudden walked out of the grave. It's not true. His body, in accordance with the Torah's instructions, was incinerated that night. And so that on first fruits, after his soul was separated on matzah, paying the price to exonerate us of our sins, that his soul and God's spirit were reunited, creating a new creation, a firstborn child into God's family. It's why the one common denominator between the three eyewitness accounts on that day is that nobody recognized him. No one. We don't go through this process to be bodily resurrected. We go through this process to be reborn spiritually, perfected, immortal, adopted into God's family. On the eve of Passover, Yahusha's body was removed from the upright pole and placed in the grave. In the morning, his soul was sent to Sheol to endure the punishment of separation. But there is an essential lesson in this passage which nullifies Christianity's foundational claim, while at the same time explains some of the Christian New Testament's most troubling dialogue. You see, Yahusha's body, after having served its purpose as the Passover lamb, ceased to exist. It was incinerated in a burst of energy before the dawning of the next day. The reason the women who approached the empty tomb on Bukhudim did not recognize him, with his mother confusing him for a gardener, was that he did not inhabit the same body. This also explains why the men on the road to Emmaus were confused, as well as the episode in the upper room later that same evening with Thomas. Yahweh is interested in our souls, not our body. A physical presence in heaven would be counterproductive. So to point out and to make this point, those who observe Pesach, Matzah, and Bukhudim become immortal, we become perfect, we become spiritual children of God. While Yahweh did not, or did, as I should say, all of the work required to redeem us, to make us immortal, if we want to be rescued, we have to be ready to go. The familial covenant relationship is predicated on us walking out of man's realm and walking to God's home. And so, next, this is in Shemoth, Exodus 12:11. God says, "And this is how you should always be nourished by him, by the lamb. Tie the fast and fasten around your waist with your sandals on your feet and with your staff in your hand and go." So after you have been nourished this way, and you should continue to be nourished this way by the lamb, tie the fastener around your waist. Get, you know, be fully dressed and girded with your sandals on your feet and with your staff in your hand, your walking stick in your hand. And you should choose to eat it, being completely nourished by him quickly. So God is saying here, you know, at Passover, I want you ready to go. It's the doorway to life, but it's only the doorway. It's only the first step. Be ready to go. I want you on your feet because I don't want you down on your knees. I did this to lift you up, not so that you would grovel at my feet. So I want you to have your clothes on, ready to go. I want you to have your sandals on your feet because we're going to go take a walk. I want you to have your staff, your walking stick in your hand. I want you to eat it. Be completely nourished by it. Quickly. This and he is Passover, according to Yahweh. The lamb is Passover. The lamb is the doorway. God wants us to eat it, recognizing that this is the first step. And he wants us ready to go. The final four words of this concluding statement can be rendered several different ways, all of which are accurate, relevant, and thought-provoking. It says that he is Passover according to Yahweh. The lamb is Passover. He is in accord with Yahweh's Passover. And this Passover is to approach Yahweh. It's Hu, which is this or he. Pesach, which is Passover. Law, which is a preposition that primarily means to approach, but is also translated according to, and God's name. Passover exists so that we can approach Yahweh. There's no reason to approach Yahweh unless we become immortal, because God is immortal. Which also tells you that you can't kill God. Man did not kill God. God cannot die. God is immortal. And so Passover is not about the death of God. It is about the death of the sacrificial lamb, the body. The soul would live on. In fact, the soul, in connection with Passover, would fulfill matzah, always doing these two things together. So the soul and spirit could be reunited on first fruits. It is all an allusion to the role Yahusha plays in our salvation. Yahusha would be the Passover lamb. He is the doorway to heaven. And thus, the Messiah is the very essence of Passover. Yahusha would be Torah observant. And therefore, he celebrated and fulfilled Pesach, Passover, in complete accord with Yahweh's instructions. And while our eye is often caught by the most profoundly important revelations, let's not be calloused to the opening stanza of this verse. Our time on this planet is relatively short and can end at a moment's notice. We need to prepare ourselves so we're ready to respond to God's invitations. He's not going to call out to us forever. You can say, you know, I think I want to celebrate Passover next year as opposed to this year when I know a little bit more about it. And God's saying, don't do that. Be ready to go. The moment you learn the truth, act upon it. Don't postpone it. The moment you know the truth, act upon it. Nothing is ever perchance with Yah. So all three times on God's, all three items here on God's list are significant. Since the last two are fairly obvious, let's begin with them. The first is the staff. It's symbolic of the Messiah, of shepherding God's flock. And we, when we return to Shattering Myths in a moment, will consider not only the staff, but the other two items on God's list, our belt that's around our midst. Considering the three items that were on God's list of things that he wants us to have with us when we eat Passover. He wants us to have the tie fastened around our waist, which means that he wants us girded and dressed and ready to go. He wants our sandals on our feet, and he wants us with our walking stick, our staff. And at the end of the last segment, we talked specifically about the most obvious of these things, the makal, which is the staff. It's symbolic of the Messiah, of shepherding God's flock. This suggests that we ought to follow Yahusha's example and be Torah observant, as was he. Also, by following the Messiah's lead, we will shepherd our Heavenly Father's sheep. We will provide nourishment, nurturing them, protecting them, guiding them. The reference to sandals speaks of Yahweh's request that we engage and walk with him. We walk to him. He wants us up. He wants us on our feet. He wants us ready to go. Moreover, the mikre are comprised of seven steps. Steps we must walk if we want to meet with God. It's the reason that the two letters that are repeated in God's name depict people standing up, reaching up to God. God wants us on our feet, walking with him, engaging with him, and never bowing down in religious observance. Being Shagar Matanim, fully dressed and girded, is especially important because we cannot enter Yahweh's presence naked. Now, we're going to be a spiritual creation, and so he's not talking about flowing white robes here. He is speaking about us being clothed in the set-apart spirit's garment of light so that we appear properly dressed, so that we are covered with the Spirit's light so that we appear perfect in God's eyes. But more important than this, being girded is analogous to being properly prepared. How do you prepare? We prepare by studying Yah's testimony. The more we observe what he had to say, the more we are willing to listen to what he taught us in his Torah, the better prepared we are. Now, in Exodus 1:6, we heard Pharaoh tell those responsible for aiding mothers delivering Hebrew children, "If a son is born, you shall kill him." Yahweh has a long memory and is prone to reciprocation. Love him, and he will love you in return, giving you the gift of life. Reject him, and he will reject you. The consequence is you will die. Therefore, so I will choose to pass over a bar. I will actually elect to completely cross over the realm, the Eretz, of the crucible, the Mitzrayim, the place of religious and political oppression, during this night. So the night of Passover begins at its inception. It begins when the sun goes down on the 13th day of the month, so that the 14th day is the continuation of Passover. That I will choose to pass over the realm of the crucible, Mitzrayim, Egypt, the place of religious and political oppression, during this particular night, and I will strike every firstborn son in the land of Egypt, in Mitzrayim, in this crucible, including man and even animal, and upon all of the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment and render punishment. Now you might say, why strike the animals? What say do they have in all of this? It's because in Egypt, as in all pagan cultures, the animals represented God. None was more important than the bull. The bull was the manifestation of their God. And so the animals too. Passover, like the other six mikrei, is both symbolic and prophetic. Yahweh would sacrifice his only begotten son as the Passover lamb to save his family. And by saying that he is going to judge and punish the gods of Egypt, Yahweh is telling us that there is more to them than celestial manifestations and graven images. False gods live in the minds and the hearts and the souls of the men who created them, of the men who serve them, and in the institutions which promote them, both of whom were inspired by Satan. False gods embody a very real spirit, that of darkness, of deceit, of death, of damnation. There would be a consequence for the role the adversary and his fellow demons played in promoting them. So the blood of the perfect Passover lamb serves to identify those who have chosen to identify themselves with Yahweh. Our lives are spared on that account. God said so in the heart of his Torah, in the book called Names. And we'll consider that when we return in a moment. So welcome back. And we are now continuing our conversation with God, where he is explaining the nature of Passover. He said, "I am Yahweh. The blood will exist for you as a sign on the homes where you, by way of this relationship, are at the time. So when I see the blood, I will choose to actually pass over you on that account." So first, God is identifying himself with Passover. That is the reason why Yahusha means Yahweh saves. That's the reason why the misnomer Jesus Christ is so terribly tragic and misleading. There isn't a separate individual that is the Savior. Yahweh himself is our Savior. And the moment we look in the wrong place, we miss this reality. Yahweh is the Passover lamb. He says, I am Yahweh. Now he's speaking of his blood. And Yahweh only has blood when he becomes corporeal. That's the nature of Yahusha. Yahusha is the diminished corporeal manifestation of Yahweh himself. I am Yahweh. The blood will exist for you as a sign. He wants us to recognize that the blood that he would be shedding by way of his corporeal manifestation on this day was for us. It was a sign for us. It was an oath, a token, a miraculous signal, an illustration, a nonverbal symbol of something far more important. Where does the blood serve as a sign, as a symbol for us on our homes? Why? Be'eth is the Hebrew basis for Be'ereth. The covenant is a family-oriented covenant relationship. And so Passover serves as a sign of the family of God, which is the covenant, where you, by way of this relationship, are at this time. So God is saying, so when I see the blood, I will choose to actually Pesach, pass over you on that account. Powerful instruction to us. In this passage, Haya, which was first used to confirm that the blood would be a sign, would exist as a sign, was scribed in the call stem, demonstrating that this connection should be interpreted literally, that the association is genuine, and that this statement is reliable. Conjugated in the perfect, we know that the blood provides a total solution, and that the sign is complete. And in the consecutive form, we discover that God wants us to acknowledge this relationship. Moving on to Ra'ah, see, it was written similarly. God wants us to see, or wants to see us respond to his instructions. That's what he wants most. I want you to look at what I have said, observe it, listen to what I have instructed, and then respond. He wants us to benefit from his provisions. He is not only sincere about this, we can count on him doing everything he has promised. And it should be also noted at the same time that the same stem, conjunction, and form were ascribed to Pesach, which was translated, I will choose to actually pass over. Pesach, which we cite as a noun, was used here as a verb. The process of God passing over us. It's Yahweh's inclination, his desire to be merciful. He finds no pleasure in punishment. God wants to pass over everything we have done wrong. He wants those who have acknowledged him to be exonerated, to become immortal. La oath, which was rendered as a sign, is also subtle. And with, in conjunction with law, it reveals that this oath is for us. It's not for God. This is God's promise for us so that we can approach him. It also reveals that the sign on the door enables us to approach God. So Passover is a sign of things to come, of eternal life in the covenant. That's why circumcision, which also has a trace of blood, serves as a sign and a symbol for us to remember the covenant, separating ourselves from all manner of human corruptions and unto God to be part of his family. Serving as a sign, as our signature, just as the blood of the Passover lamb serves as the symbol to God to pass over our imperfections. There is more to Passover than simply sparing a life. The plague of sin, which leads to the death and destruction of the soul, is lifted from us. God said, and the plague, the negef, the pandemic disease which strikes people and causes them to stumble, leading to and concerning death and destruction, mashikth, ruin, and incinerate. They shall not exist among you when I strike in the realm of the crucible of Egypt. Yahweh is the source of life. Sin is the source of death. God conceived life and authored its generic code, and he provided the means to extend it forever. It was his to give, also making it his to take away. Man, however, through religion and politics, authored the means to death and destruction. Humankind conceived the way to foreshorten life and to spoil it. There are two types of life, corporeal and spiritual. Those who survive the first to experience the second do so on Yahweh's authority. Those who accept the benefits of the covenant are reborn spiritually from above by way of Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. Those who overtly oppose Yahweh and His Torah are also reborn spiritually, but from below, as they are incarcerated with Satan. But most people make neither choice. They succumb to the plague of religion, the disease which causes souls to stumble, which leads us to the death of the body and to the ultimate destruction of such souls. Well, the consequence of ignoring or rejecting Yahweh on Pesach and His instructions pertaining to Pesach isn't something to celebrate. Passover isn't a somber affair. It is a festival feast. On this day, those who are guided by Yahweh's Torah are become immortal. They are, in particular, in conjunction with matzah, we're not only immortal, but perfected. God's children are freed from death. We're freed from the destruction of our souls. Which is why Yahweh goes on to say, this day will exist on your behalf as a memorial, as a reminder, as a zakaron. Just as circumcision was a zakar, this too is zakar, a zakaron, a combination of the oath, the promise, the sign, all designed to remember, remembering and commemorating an inheritance right, to understand the relationship. And you should choose to genuinely and completely celebrate Chag. I want you to throw a party with him, a festival feast to approach Yahweh throughout all of your lives and generations. Continuously and genuinely celebrating the festival feast with him as an engraved prescription for living forever. Oh, so much power in these words. This day, not any day, this day, what day? Passover shall exist, which is a verb from Yah's perspective. It's him acting on our behalf. It will exist. It was. It is. It always will be. Haya, the basis of Yahweh's name. On our behalf, for us. For us to what? For us to approach God. As a memorial and reminder, La Zakaron. Zakaron is a combination of own this sign, this symbol, this oath, and of light itself. And Zakar, the Hebrew word for to remember. We are to remember Pesach. That's why Yahusha, as he celebrated Pesach with his disciples, said, remember me when you celebrate this meal. It's a way to remember. We are to remember that this day was on our behalf so that we could approach God, so that we on this specific day might become like God and the verb that is the basis of Yahweh's name, Haya, to exist forever throughout time. And God says, I want you to choose to genuinely and completely celebrate this. Chag is a festival feast. It's a party. And the call perfect consecutive means that it's our choice, that He wants our response to be genuine, and that we recognize that this act is complete, requiring nothing more. He wants us to celebrate it with Him. He repeats it again, a festival feast, a party, Chag. To approach law, Yahweh. What, until Yahusha arrives and the Christian religion is established and then we don't do this anymore? No, what does he say? Lador, throughout all of your lives and generations, in every dwelling places and throughout time. Continuously and genuinely celebrating the festival feast with him. Once again, a third reminder that Passover is not a dire, somber affair. This is not about slaughtering an animal, as Christian pastors would have you believe. It is all about enjoying a meal with God, being nourished by Him, recognizing that He did this for us so that we could approach him, that this is the doorway to his home, that we can celebrate our relationship with him. Three times, chag, a festival feast, a party, a celebration has been presented. Continuously and genuinely celebrating the festival feast with him, the celebration with him, call imperfect, forever throughout time. As an engraved prescription for living, chukah, as a clearly communicated and inscribed recommendation of what you should do in life to be cut into the relationship forever, olam, eternally. Not for a prescribed period of time, not for a prescribed group of people, not for a prescribed place. This has nothing to do with Yisrael and everything to do with Yisrael. It has nothing to do with Yehudim and everything to do with Yehudim. It has nothing to do with the Exodus, God saving his people, and everything to do with God saving his people. You see, the covenant children are Yisrael. We are Yehudim, individuals who relate and are related to Yahweh. We are all being led away from the crucible of judgment and human oppression by Yahweh. Forever. So welcome back to the final segment of our show today. So that you know, come Monday, we will commence our final presentation of Pesach. While there's lots more to say about this day, and we could commit another six programs to it and still not run out of material, we do need to move on to Matzah, because we are never to celebrate Pesach without also celebrating and including our invitation to participate in matzah as part of it. So we're going to move on to 6 days, beginning on Tuesday of matzah, with our conclusion of Pesach this coming Monday. So God said, this day will exist, Haya, will always be on your behalf as a memorial and reminder, a zakaron, a way to remember, a symbol, a proverb. And you should choose to genuinely and completely celebrate Cha'og with him, a festival feast, to approach Yahweh throughout all of your lives and generations, dwelling places, and throughout time, continuously and genuinely celebrating the festival feast with him, Cha'og, as an engraved prescription for living, Chukah, a clearly communicated and inscribed recommendation as what you should do in life, to be cut into the covenant relationship forever, olam, eternally, time without end. Remaining consistent, Haya was first rendered will exist and was used to tell us that we should always remember this specific day known as Pesach. It was conveyed using the call stem, the perfect conjugation, and the consecutive form. So once again, Yahweh is expressing his will, and he is telling us how he'd like us to respond. Therefore, those who choose to do the will of God should choose to remember Passover. Furthermore, this was written to be interpreted literally and to be responded to genuinely. That's the call stem. And that is because Pesach is a complete solution. This is from the perfect conjugation, because Yahweh has done everything which was required to accomplish all of his goals. By saying that this mikra is a zakaron, a memorial and a reminder, God told us that its lessons should be remembered because they will help us understand his plan of salvation. Not missing a beat or changing gears, Cha'og, should you choose to genuinely and completely celebrate this, was scribed using the same combination of call, perfect, consecutive. While this is Yahweh's will, his advice, his decision on how to respond, that decision is up to us. Just don't be a hypocrite. And don't ask God for God's will. Don't ask to know God's will for your life if you choose to ignore his instructions when he provides them. Chag, festival feast, is obviously a derivative of the cha'og, the verbal form of the word. But by including both, there's no missing the fact that Yahweh views Passover as a celebration, as a feast, as a party. Our Heavenly Father wants to celebrate our relationship with Him. He wants to celebrate His gift to us of eternal life. He has planned the event, made all of the arrangements. He has paid the bill. He's invited you and me to attend. Are you going to RSVP? By using Dor in this context, Yahweh has made it clear that the Mikra of Pesach is for all generations, for all time, for all places, and all people. Further, Olam reinforces the idea that the observance of Passover is never to end. This celebration of life wasn't to be replaced by anything. Passover is an engraved prescription for living, designed to cut us into the covenant relationship. It is Olam forever. It is about being forever, life eternal. Just like we will be when we observe it. And that is why we find the final installment of Cha'og was presented using the imperfect conjugation and included the first person masculine singular suffix him. It means that God wants us to consistently and continuously celebrate this festival feast with Him forever in eternity in heaven. We will continue to celebrate Passover because it is a celebration of life with God. So why do you suppose the Catholic Church made the celebration of Passover illegal, killing those who celebrate it? Why did they replace Yahweh's Passover with a Babylonian celebration of Easter, even renaming or retaining the name of the pagan goddess who was called the Mother of God and the Queen of Heaven? Why do Protestant and Orthodox Christians follow their ungodly example? Is it any wonder Christians don't understand the majesty of God's plan? Well, may Yah bless you. We'll continue with our presentation of Pesach on Monday.